Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lee and Keys, Real Talk, episode 35. Back with another episode today, another broadcast. Might be a few seconds off. We have a few seconds, just perfect. Anyways, we're going to break down some topics tonight. My brother Lee is out on a business venture. He's a little busy, you know, this time of year, so he's over there doing his thing, and I'm over here doing my thing, holding it down, holding down the ship. So, you know, we got a couple things that we want to get into today. I mean, there's been a lot of interesting things going on, especially, you know, within my interest as a person. I mean, I know on this show I definitely talk a lot about hip hop. I mean, we talk a lot about rap music. You know, we talk a lot about MMA and what goes on in that world, you know, with scheduled fights and things like that. We kind of dabble between a lot of different topics. And it seems like within most of my interest and, you know, the interest of the show and regarding topics that we usually talk about, there's been a lot of things going on in each of those categories, you know, even in some categories that we don't usually talk about. There's some interesting things happening, you know, possibly worth bringing up. So, I mean, I expect to get into some interesting things tonight. I mean, first of all, the one biggest thing that I noticed lately was, you know, one of my favorite artists today in music overall. I mean, he does a lot of rap music. I don't know if you really categorize it as rap music, but I mean, he might be more into these days. Drake, you know, Drake is debatably the biggest artist in music, period, today. I don't know that there's a bigger artist than Drake. I mean, besides Adele and maybe Justin Bieber, I'm not sure who else sells like Drake does. I mean, it's not just about selling records. You know, you got to do more than just be able to sell records to, you know, be considered the biggest or most popular. I mean, but then again, at the same time, it's like easily be deemed the most popular artist just off the strength of having sold the most albums. And Drake lately, I don't know too much about, you know, recent album sales. I know Adele and Justin Bieber, I mean, I at least know their YouTube numbers are astronomical. I mean, the last couple of Justin Bieber songs that I played back on YouTube had, you know, a billion plus views. And that is just mind-blowing. So, and Adele, too. Adele is huge. I mean, Adele Gibbon makes a lot of beautiful music. And I respect Adele a lot for the work that she's put in. I catch feels pretty good amount listening to a handful of her songs. So respect to that. But, you know, my reason for bringing this up is that Drake, he had gotten, you know, so Pusha T, so fellow hip hop and rap artist Pusha T, who is signed to Kanye West, who I'm sure a lot of listeners and people out there in general would be familiar with. Kanye West, he's a genius. I think he's a musical genius and entertainment genius. I think he can do many things. Kind of surprised that Kanye West hasn't gotten into acting yet in his career. I'm quite surprised that he hasn't gone that route yet with the personality that he has and the creativity level that he possesses. So that's surprising. But anyways, Pusha T is signed to Kanye West, and you know, Pusha T, fellow hip hop and rap artist, he just dropped an album. I think within the last week or so, maybe less than a week. I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's pretty recent. What's today? Today's Wednesday. It might have been, you know, this past weekend that we just saw go by. So Pusha T dropped the album. The album's called Daytona, and Pusha T, he has a record on there. I was playing it back. Me and my cousin had gone out the other night. I was out with some of my family, and now he said, look at this, you know, listen to this record. So Pusha T off the album. You know, I don't really listen to Pusha T, so I wasn't checking for his album or anything like that. You know, I definitely heard quite a few people mention that it was pretty good. Now, I didn't really know anything about it, but we played the record back, and he had some choice words for Drake in one of the songs on there called Infrared. So I kind of just waited, and then I listened to it, and I was like, whatever. I mean, I don't really care for this stuff too much. It is what it is. I mean, people are trying to get their album popping by, you know, bringing up a big name. I mean, I was telling my cousin, I was like, this kind of chess move happens not just in music, but in anything. If you want to make headlines, why not call out the biggest guy? Like, if any listeners watch boxing, this happens in boxing all the time. Like, and it happens also in MMA all the time. Now, make an example. If you want to get into the boxing world, call out Floyd Mayweather. If you want to, you know, become big in MMA, talk shit like McGregor. Call out McGregor. If you want to, you know, if you want to make headlines in the NBA, you know, have something to say about LeBron James. You know, stop mouthing off about LeBron James, or, you know, have a dirty foul LeBron James in the game so ESPN can play it back for 3 weeks, and then, you know, get your name popping out there and headlines and everything. So I think that's what T did with this record, and Drake actually responded back within the first, I think, 24 hours of that at the time when that had been released. I don't know really what was the time, and it seemed really fast to me, and maybe it's just my attention span. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention, but Drake responded back hella fast, and it was wild. I mean, if you are familiar with Drake and his past response records to people who have criticized him, this one is far superior he has done in the past when people have spoke badly on his name. Because, I mean, he's had good records, good response records, good lines, and, you know, in songs that weren't necessarily about that topic, you know, kind of like, you know, Common. Common's one of my favorite guys in music. I mean, one of the few that I, you know, will actually listen to often, you know, in the hip hop world, and Common had a couple things to say about Drake on a record. Ironically, Common was also signed to Good Music at this time. Well, no, he wasn't signed, but he had just been signed to Good Music just before he had released his album, and then he came out with the album when he was independent. He was on Good Music just before that, and now Pusha T, I think Pusha T is still on Good Music, so they kind of both made the same chess move, because Common had some choice words about Drake just before his album was going to drop. He came out with a record called Sweet, and by the way, that album that he came out with after that was beautiful, and that's one of my favorite albums ever, by the way. It's called The Dreamer, The Believer. Go check that out. It dropped in like 2011, but that thing is timeless. That thing is timeless. People can be listening to that in 2031, and they're going to be nodding their heads feeling that. I have complete faith. You show somebody that record, and they're going to think it's brand new 20 years from now. And so, yeah, they kind of made the same chess move, and then, you know, Drake just came out with hammers. He came out with haymaker lines, and if you're into bars and things like that, and you like lyrics, then you would definitely like that the response record from Drake. Also, I actually jumped the caller into the line, but I kind of was a little rude because I didn't even welcome them into the show. What's going on?
What's going on, Keys, man?
Yeah, I just kind of had my bad for that. I kind of had to go on a tangent right there and open up, you know, what I was thinking to opening up with. You feel me?
No, you good.
How you doing?
Apart was my fault. I didn't even call in time. But I'm good, man. How about you?
Oh, you know, I'm chilling, bro. I'm chilling. I'm just, You know, I'm enjoying my summer right now. You know, school's out. I'm just been, you know, working and enjoying my life. That's pretty much, you know, that's what it's about right at this time. So.
Oh, you and me both. You and me both. But yeah, let's go ahead and talk. And by the way, Pusha T is the president of Good Music, so he's definitely with Good Music right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was but you see, I'm glad that, you know, my apologies for not jumping you into the call right away, but that right there that you said just lets me know that you were at least listening, even though you weren't able to respond.
Yeah.
You probably wanted to be able to respond. You might even have started responding thinking you was in the call, but you weren't in there yet, which I appreciate you listening, even though you weren't in there. And
of course,
you probably heard what I said was that it's funny because Pusha T come out with an album, and then he has a song on the album which has a Drake diss in it, which is not the first time we've seen this from Good Music, because Common did that right before his album.
Yeah,
when he was on Good Music
around the Dream and Believer.
He did the
diss track right after Drake's Stay Scheming verse on the same beat. I remember when I heard it when it first came out.
I thought the first shot was Common. I thought Common come out with Sweet, and then Drake come out with the Stay Scheming verse after that.
No, it was. No, Drake didn't respond at all.
Oh, Drake come out with the shot. Okay, that was first. All right.
Drake never said anything. It was Common that he did So Sweet, and then he did the Stay Scheming verse, which was a lot more direct to Drake than Sweet was.
Yeah, Sweet would kind of sound like a regular song a little bit. He had like little bits in there, you know.
Yeah, a couple of subliminals, but it wasn't as clear and direct to Drake as Stay Scheming was.
Yeah, the Stay Scheming, I remember he had one line, and he said, Common,
the Canada Dry?
At the end of the,
Canada Dry.
Something about Canada Dry, I forget, it was funny. That's my dude, though,
Canada
I love Common,
Dry.
But anyways, So the Pusha T thing is, Pusha T come out with the song from his album. I was telling the listeners.
Infrared?
Pusha T come out with the song from his album called Infrared. And the beat was hot, man. That beat is hot. That's one thing I noticed right off the jump. When I heard that
record,
I was like, damn, this beat is hot. Like, if there's not at least one person that comes out and remixes that Infrared, like if they even have access to the instrumental and no one remixes that, I'll be surprised, man. I'll be really surprised because that's a hot beat, man. Very hot.
That is a hot beat.
You think they say Kanye produced his whole album. If he made that beat, then damn, Kanye's
on. Been a good producer.
Nah, I know he meant.
Whether
nah,
we
I
agree
know that.
Or disagree with him about the Trump mega hat stuff, he's always been a great producer. List itself, that was a hard beat.
Yeah, nah. Kanye's always been a good producer. I didn't think that he fell off or nothing. I don't always know if it's his production because I'm not familiar with producers enough to be able to tell who produced it unless you tell me who produced it. Like, I can't just be like, oh, this is like so-and-so's production. Like, somebody who listens to like a lot of different production will be able to tell certain things apart when they just listen to beats a lot. But for me, it's hard. Like, probably the only time that I could point out for you, like where I can most likely tell apart like two things is if you had, insert like a random producer and then have a J Dilla production on there, I'll be able to pick out which one's the J Dilla and which one's not. Yeah, for real. J Dilla's probably. Yo, facts, dude. J Dilla.
One of my favorites.
Man. Yeah, that's my favorite producer ever, bro. Yeah, I've rapped over a couple of J Dill. Yeah, bro. He was very, very talented guy. Him and Common was actually like homies, bro. They were like really good friends.
Oh yes, yes. The Nolius.
Yeah.
Favorite song ever from J D and Common. That and MC Square.
Man, rest in peace, J Dilla, bro. That dude was amazing.
His birthday was
amazing.
A couple months ago too.
So oh yeah.
To JD. Yeah, he could have turned 44 if he was still alive.
That's crazy, man. I was talking.
I know.
No, I was talking to a friend about this earlier today. I was just saying like about how short life is, and then when you just told me that, it's like wow, you know, J Dilla died. You know, X amount of years ago.
Young.
You know, he's already been dead for, you know, so many. Exactly. He's been dead, you know, already 13 years, and he would have been 44 today. Like, so what? So he died when he was, like, in his 30s, 33, 32, 33?
Yeah, around that.
That's
that,
young,
yeah.
Man. That's really young. That's crazy. Like, just to think, you know, a couple of weeks, I'll be turning 22.
I'm turning 20.
Yeah, man. So, like, on that timeline, like, you know, anything can happen. Me and you could, you know, that's just, man, life is too short. I don't even want to go down that topic, but life is just, man, that's crazy.
For real.
People
well,
die
let's,
too
let's,
young
let's,
these
let's,
days.
Let's get back to pushing Drake, though. Come on, Infrared.
Yeah, so, I had to do a short skit talk about J Dilla, but anyways, yeah, the Pusha T record. The beat was hot. Pusha had a couple lines in there. I think I listened to it once. No, once or twice I listened to it. So maybe I didn't get to really get all the lines that was in it, but it was pretty good. And then Drake came back like pretty quick. I was telling him pretty soon after. And I thought it was not even 24 hours later. He came back with a freestyle duppy. Yuppie, guppy, I don't know, something like that.
Good God.
Freestyle.
It was barely even 12 hours before that drop.
Yeah, like, I was talking about this with my cousin, and my cousin was saying, he was like, man, he was like, you know, you think he was like, my cousin was like, this is such quick response. He was like, you would think that he had,
I don't think he worked on it. I think he probably had it ready, like, because... I remember Joe when he talked about why he dissed Drake. He heard the first Montana track way before he even did this track. When Drake dissed Joe with the Pump It Up reference. So then he had Making a Murderer ready, and then he was as soon as Drake was gonna drop the French verse, he was gonna drop Making a Murderer, any diss track he had on deck, and then 40 Impact didn't drop till like July, and this was like around the end of May, June it began in June ish, then 4 p.m. at Calabasas dropped, and then Joe was like, wait, what the hell? But either way, he was ready. So I think. First of all, we already saw a video of Push playing this song around a group of people, and this was before the album dropped. So it was like, oh, he's throwing shots at Drake already, and it was obvious with the written like Nas when it came from Quentin. So I think Drake either heard that part or he heard the whole verse because somebody probably sent it to him. And he probably got ready either, like, Wednesday or maybe Thursday, well, I'm guessing. And he decided to drop it, like a little bit as soon as Infrared dropped. And luckily, that played perfectly. Keith?
Yeah, what's up?
Again, Keith? I'm about to say, I thought I wanted to... I thought Santa had like last week. I was about to say.
Said what?
Nah, that your mic went out like last week. I thought the same thing happened.
Oh no, no. I think the audio might have cut out or something like that. I didn't even realize. I heard like a piece of what you were saying, but the end part I missed it. I thought I was waiting for you to finish what you were saying.
Yeah, I was like, "Keith, so, man, bro."
Yeah, yeah, no.
But I think that's what.
What'd you say? What'd you finish off with? What was the last thing? Because I missed the end.
Oh no, I was saying it calculated well, but I don't think he like. I don't think it was just that fast that Drake was like, oh, so that's how you feel pushed? Like when, like Thursday when the album dropped and went straight to the studio. He probably was already at the studio because he literally said, don't push me while I'm in album mode. So.
Yeah, that got me hyped when he said that.
Yeah. So he was already at the studio, which I think that's what Pusha was hoping for. But go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I feel like my theory is that Pusha T has been actually subliminally dressing. Subliminally dissing Drake for like a couple of years now, and I think a couple of years. So Drake's record,
to the Wayne Bape situation.
Yeah, so I think that Drake has had like a couple lines. He's had like a couple lines like in the notepad, like for Pusha T, and just never had the motivation to release anything because, you know, he's got bigger things going on. So he had some lines he probably had mixed with some lines that he wrote when he heard the record. Because when you hear a record, somebody like this, you hear the record, you get that adrenaline, you write a whole bunch of bars. So it's definitely possible he could have wrote that one night. But I think it might have been a few lines or a few angles, at least, that inspired part of it as well that he already had in the
No, but there's a difference between just writing and having the entire production together. Because beats, putting the verse on beats, that might take a minute. Writing it, sometimes that might take like maybe an hour or two. But as far as like selecting which beat should go, like, it's not like Drake had the beat in his head automatically, but that sometimes the production takes a minute, and then you got to play the waiting game because Drake is probably trying to be well calculated about it. That's why I don't think he, like, came up with the song immediately after the Infrared drop. But that Dumpy was hard, dog.
Yeah, Drake was having some lines in there. It was crazy. I'm looking to see what they do next. But you know, one thing I want to touch on too, aside from that, is everybody go check out Drake's Dumpy freestyle. And if you care about that whole thing, go check out the records and see what happens. You know, don't let that take up too much of your time. Go do some push-ups or be productive and don't sit on the computer. Anyways, so. So moving on from that is, what's today? Wednesday? Okay, so
yeah.
This past weekend Sunday and Monday. So those 2 days, that 48 hours was the most disappointing 2 days to happen in sports in like the last like year. Easily.
For real.
Oh, at least like the last year, because I can't think of such a disappointing transition. Like you have, so my Celtics lose in game 7 in Boston.
Of course you're
the crowd was so supportive. There was no, no slack. There was no dead energy. Like the Garden was lit, very supportive, very on their feet the whole game. I could hear it. I mean, I wasn't at the game, but I know somebody that was at the game and I seen clips and the Garden was lit. They were definitely lit, and also on TV, I mean, you could hear the crowd chant the whole game. But until the end, in the fourth quarter, you heard them get dead silent, and you want to know why? It's because the Patriots. The Celtics were playing so bad that it was, like, just sad to even watch it. Like, the fourth quarter was such bad Celtics basketball. I don't even know what to call that. The only good play
on that part. It was really just, like, the whole team having an off night as far as shooting. It wasn't like, oh, They were trash. They made bad plays. They had good looks as far as shoot their shots. It just couldn't go in. And it wasn't just the Celtics. It was both the Celtics and the Cavs. It was a low-scoring game.
It was, but if you compare the first half of what the Celtics were doing versus the second half, even though in both halves they were shooting a low percentage from three-point range, the first half they weren't settling for the outside shots as much. Like they weren't just being like, oh, you know, fuck it, let me just shoot from the parking lot because, like, I'm nervous. That's what it looked like in the second half. It looked like they were just didn't know what to do because they couldn't get inside. Like, the Cavs' defense, like, sharpened up and they couldn't get inside. That's what it seemed like to me. Because in the first half, they were connecting, you know, to Horford right at the rim. You know, Horford, you know, he had a couple dunks over there. Like, the ball movement was good. Like, and then they were rebounding. Like, and then the second half was just like, let's just, you know, take all the shots that we can, just reckless shots. It looked like they just had, like, their game plan just dissolved. Like, and given both teams weren't really having a great night, but and LeBron, like, LeBron had a good game, but regardless of LeBron, that almost wasn't even a factor because, you know, also I think that LeBron and Jeff Green probably, like, had the biggest night for the Cavs. Yeah, Jeff Green was very good. That was another thing.
George Hill showed up with that crazy layup after that full court pass from LeBron.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, George Hill was having some plays, and
J.R. Smith handled with a couple of needed steals.
Yeah, you know, like they just
– Tristan Thompson with some rebounds and some layups. The Cavs showed up when it was needed. Thank God. The rest of them released.
Right, and the Celtics had no answer for that, and that was just sad to watch. So, you know, there was just a couple moments I can just remember, like I just watched it 5 seconds ago, where you see Jeff Green on the way outside, nobody's guarding him, and he just sinks a three from nobody is even relatively near him. Like, I don't even know how that happened. Like, how do you have a guy?
Jason Tatum was on fire though.
Nah, yeah, yeah, nah. I'm not trying to. Yo, Jason Tatum looked like.
No, I'll just.
Man,
say.
Trying to. Yeah, nah. Jason Tatum looked like the star of the team. Like, really, compared to everybody, like, he looked like our star.
Between him and Al Horford. Him and Al Horford.
Yeah, yeah.
Al Horford was scoring.
Yeah, Big Al was having a good night, too. But it just. Especially for his experience level and his. Like, what is Jason Tatum, 20? I think he's 20 years old.
19.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay. That even just accelerates it even more. Then wow, it's okay. We had a 19-year-old player out there who was pretty much outplaying everybody, you know, for his experience level. Like, everybody. Crazy. And he even had a highlight reel dunk on LeBron.
On LeBron.
He, like, chest bumped him after. And, like,
that was crazy.
Bro, what was that?
That was crazy.
Yo,
I loved it.
Replay on LeBron's
I
face.
Loved it.
Like he. I loved it too, man. They had the replay of LeBron's face. he was looking at Jason Tatum when after he got bumped and he looked over at him. Like, there was two things I think was going through his mind. One was who was that? Like he didn't even know. He, like, you don't even expect this guy of all people just did me like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't have thought it'd been him. And two is like,
he got dunked on.
Man. Yeah. Wait, what'd you say?
No, so he got dunked on by somebody you least expected before. Hell, last year with this guy from the Bucks, Malcolm Brogdon. He did a crazy reverse dunk. He was like, yo, if I would have known that was LeBron, I probably wouldn't even jump. I'm glad you didn't know then, because that was crazy.
Yeah, it's. I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to make it sound like it can't be done. I'm just saying that the fact that it was him that had done it, and at that time in the game when the rest of the team wasn't really doing much, his energy was still playing at a high level.
Jason Tatum was playing like he was the only one on the floor. He was playing like he was the only one on the floor. Like,
Jaylen Brown was throwing shots.
Now I was saying Terry Rozier couldn't buy a bucket. Jason Tatum just couldn't get was forcing shots. I mean, no, not Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown was just forcing shots.
Like, yeah, just, yeah, he had a bad game. Jaylen Brown had a real bad game. Rozier had a real bad game too. I don't remember seeing either one of them having any plays. I really don't remember any moments from either one of them the whole game.
Yeah, we both.
I mean, I was supporting LeBron still because I'm a LeBron fan. I wanted Celtics to win, but for some reason, I just kept saying, come on, Bron. Come on, Cavs. Goodness gracious. I'm not even a Cavs fan.
Damn, LeBron had to have been appreciative of Jeff Green, Kevin Love because Jeff Green had them in some clutch moments during that
game.
Like
I told you, Jeff Green isn't trash. I've been told y'all, Jeff Green isn't really trash. They just don't know how to use him.
Jeff Green used to be on the Celtics a couple of years ago, too.
Yes. Yes. The Celtics, the Thunder. But
you don't forget about Jeff Green been around. Yeah, no, he's been good for a while.
He played with KD, Russell, and James Harden those days of the Thunder.
Oh, damn. He was on that team, too?
Yes.
That was the craziest team ever. Like, that was the craziest team ever. That's the most mysterious thing ever that to happen in the NBA. Like, the fact that And then I think the most craziest thing now, look at the Thunder now. I mean, now they have Paul George, Westbrook, and Carmelo is there now too, right?
Yeah. That didn't work.
So now you've got those three guys playing together, and it's like another one of those moments for, Oklahoma, because you're like, damn, you got these three stars together? What's going on? How are we not figuring this out right now? I'm still yet to – I don't really know what's their problem. I feel like they should be doing better than they have done.
Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, man.
It's weird sometimes.
Let's talk about what happened with the Rockets and Warriors, though, man. I understand that the Cavs won. I'm not too mad about that. But Rockets, please come true, because I don't want to see these two go at it for a fourth time.
Man, I think everybody in the world was saying that, especially me, because, I felt like, damn, I was so, I was so disappointed that night when the Celtics lost, and I just, went to bed, bro. Like, I didn't even care about, I just was so disgusted. Like, bro, I really did. I didn't do anything. Like, I don't even think I looked at my phone. I was just like, yo, I don't even want to talk to nobody. I can't believe how terrible we just blew that game. I can't even believe how we just blew it in the Garden. How do you blow it in the Garden? That doesn't even happen. Like, I was talking to my father a couple days ago, and he was like, and I told him, because he didn't see the game, and I was like, yeah, the Celtics lost game 7, right, in Boston. And he was like, no way. And then he was like, I'm pretty sure that's only happened like twice in history. And I was like, well, then there's the third time right there. I'm kind of sad it had to be this team to do it.
I think we all kind of are. Even though I'm not that mad because I'm a LeBron fan, I was just like, okay, Houston, you just got to make sure that the Warriors don't get past y'all. And good God, I was so mad. I was so mad.
Yeah, so
I feel bad for Chris Paul.
So I'm pretty sure that I feel like you watched that game. I didn't watch that game. I just looked at the stats after, or like as it was going on a little bit, and then I like forgot and like looked at it the next day and was disappointed. But I did hear that the Rockets missed, I think, 23 straight threes at some point. Like, and
not 23, 27. 27 straight threes.
My bad. I was off by four missed from 3-point range. My bad.
27 straight.
That's even
so
worse.
You watched the game.
I was heartbroken.
So, tell the listeners a little bit about how the Rockets fell apart in this game. Like, what were they doing good in the first half at least?
They were on fire in the first half. It's just the second half they just started. They was missing three. A lot of these threes were forced, but some of them were just open. You were like, well, hell's nothing more you can do. The only person that was really driving and trying to get to the goal was besides the big man, was really James Harden. And he couldn't even get a layup, which kind of sucked. So it's like, damn, they just can't – shots just can't go in right now.
My God. Well, that's extremely disappointing. Both underdog teams, both, you know, would have been new teams who haven't been in the finals in quite some time. You got some new faces in there, and they both lose. As a result, they both lose in Game 7 on their home court. So that's
they're so lucky Chris Paul can play.
So
they're so lucky.
Yeah, that was the next thing that I wanted to say, because I was watching I think it's Max Kellerman said that Chris Paul being in the game wouldn't have made a difference. And I forget what Stephen A. Smith said about it. But I know I saw Stephen A. Smith talk about this topic because I actually watch a lot of his stuff. I'm pretty sure he did say
first
I thought he said that it wouldn't have made a difference. Yeah, I thought I said Stephen A. Smith said it wouldn't have made a difference if Chris Paul had played too. But I don't believe that, bro. I feel like if Chris Paul played, that's a huge difference. How does that not make a difference?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know where
they come up with that.
I think the only reason why they're saying that is because the entire team was off and missed. It wasn't just James Harden missing. It was Trevor. Trevor Ariza was 0-for-12. P.J. Tucker, he wasn't making threes. Gerald Green, he only made like 1-for-11. Ryan Anderson, he couldn't move three. It was like just the whole team was just in a funk. And that's the only thing I can assume, because sometimes when the whole team is off, it's rare that one person can get them back in the game. Sometimes. The Celtics were lucky that Al and Jason Tatum was still made the game a fight, because everybody else just couldn't make shots.
Yeah, that's a good comparison right there.
Now, at the same time, I feel that Chris Paul wouldn't have been off, but I'm not really too angry about off the edge of my seat about you crazy if you don't think that Chris Paul would have made a difference. Nah, I feel that he probably would have made a difference, but at the same time, it probably wouldn't have been that big of a difference. But sometimes it depends on what he does. At the same time, Chris Paul controls the tempo a lot better than James Harden does. So it probably would have went a whole different way. Like, Chris Paul would have made a better chances of Nene and Clint Capella to get the ball, or Trevor to get more open shots, or P.J. Tucker to get more open shots than them just forcing threes. Like, I feel Chris Paul could have controlled the tempo a lot better than James Harden would have.
Yeah. You think if Chris Paul – you think right now Chris Paul is kind of like, you know, kicking himself a little bit. He's like, damn, like, I can't believe – I couldn't play in Game 7. You think he's like kind of biting his tongue right now? Like, damn, I'm disgusted.
Yeah, because it's like, dog, I know I could have done something about this, and just to see that I couldn't see what happened and that I can't do anything, that sucks.
Yeah,
I would have been mad.
And what's his injury right now? What was it that kept him from playing?
It was a hamstring. It was a hamstring. He sprained his hamstring.
And does he have a history of injuries? Like, did he get injured? Because I don't hear about him getting injured really that much. Maybe I don't pay attention enough.
Yeah, but it was like, well, not huge injuries like D-Roller. It was like different parts. One time it was his shoulder. The next time in the playoffs, it was his finger. Now this year, it's his hamstring. It's like, and it's when he's balling in the playoffs. Like, I remember when he messed up his finger, it was when the Clippers were against the Trailblazers, and they were up like 2-1, and he reached for the ball, and it got caught in somebody's shorts, and it dislocated his finger, and next thing you know, he was out for the postseason. And now this happened, it's like, dog, Chris can't catch a break, and he's balling.
Damn. Well, that's crazy. That's unfortunate. I'm a fan of Chris Paul, so I would have wanted to see him out there.
This one, my favorite.
I know, he had been sitting down on a bench, in the hospital or somewhere in the locker room on the side, or whatever he was at, watching the game, whether he was on a TV or maybe he was in the arena and we didn't see him, but he was watching it somewhere, and he was like, if I was him, I probably would have been pacing back and forth, like, man, what the hell? Like, I wish I could be out there. This is crazy. Like, you get the trade, you know, to Houston, and then the team is almost built to be able to contend against the Giants, the Warriors, right? And so you have the team, mm-hmm. and they do great, have a great season, get the number one seed, and then so you got
from the
game
seven.
Exactly, and they bring it to Game 7. On top of that, they make it to the Conference Finals and then go to 7 games with the Warriors on home court, and Chris Paul can't play, man. That's just because he didn't play in Game 6 either, right?
No, he didn't play in Game 6, unfortunately.
All right, so he missed Game 6 and Game 7. So, and then he played Game 5?
Yeah, that's when he got his hamstring strained. It was like the last 20 seconds when he made that fadeaway shot.
Jesus. All right. Yeah, no. That's crazy. That's very unfortunate. And then the next day, so this was, I don't know if this is disappointing. This is kind of just like, it kind of goes with the theme, like, wow, we kind of knew this was going to happen. Like, the Cavs and Warriors playing for a fourth time, that being like a monumental disappointment for everybody. And then in the NHL, there was a new team in the NHL this year. I'm sure most people understand that. The Las Vegas Golden Knights. I think that's their full name, official name. And the Las Vegas team, they just been nasty. And, they picked up a lot of players that, they could pick up from other teams or whatever like that, unrestricted players. And they built a great team, and they are in the Stanley Cup, and they might be the champions in their first year in the league. I don't know. That's just crazy to me. I don't even really watch hockey that much. Like, I barely, watch hockey, but I just pay attention enough to know, like, that's going on, and that's just mind-blowing. I mean, they're contending for a title, and it's their first year in the league, and they're likely going to get a title because they just won game one on Monday, and then they're playing right now. I'm not watching it right now, but I know they're on right now. So that's wild. And I think that's another thing where it's kind of like people know the team is so good and they know that they're going to win. And then they do win game one. And then, if they win tonight, it's just like, wow, like what if, then you start thinking of the possibility of, wow, this team, imagine they sweep their first year in the league and they sweep to get the cup. That would just be, because when the team goes up 2-0, at least for me, I at least think of the possibility of the Bruins. I know some people wait until, like, at least 3-0 to think about the Bruins. But for me, 2-0, especially with myself, it, just went up 2-0 and then ended up losing to the Cavs in 7. But when they were up 2-0, I didn't say that it was going to be the Bruins. But I was open to the possibility of the broom because of the way it looked in the first two games. While knowing that it was unlikely, I still considered the possibility of it, which will be considering tonight. If the Vegas hockey team wins tonight, I will consider them pulling out the broom for their first title in their first season ever as a team. That's mind-blowing.
Look, at this point, it doesn't even matter whether or not it's the broom. As long as they win it, it's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even a hockey guy, but as far as that, as long as they win it, it's all that matters.
Yeah, no, I mean, the fact that a team's first year, the team's first established year, they're in the finals is just mind blowing in itself. Like that for that franchise is already huge. Like they already have a huge following. Like they just created a whole new fan base out in Vegas. Like those people probably didn't even care about hockey until they realized they were going to have a hockey team. And they already have a huge amount of support and a great team. So they're already contending for a title in the first year. That's just, I mean, if that happened in the NBA, we would be going nuts about that just the same. Like if a new team came out and playing in the NBA Finals this year, especially if it was like a team in the West, if a team come out of the West and they say they added a Vegas team, and of course the Vegas team would play in the Western Conference, imagine they came in the first year and never mind the broom. There was no broom in any series, but they won off their way to the conference finals, and then they're in the NBA finals their first year in the West. That would be mind-blowing.
Yeah. Now, it's almost that would almost be like when the Saints, after Hurricane Katrina, their first season back, they make it to the NFC Championship game against Chicago Bulls in 06, 07. It's almost at that level.
And yeah, that I love when I see teams come out and do stuff like that. Like when it's beautiful. Like a team, like something happens in your city, in your area, and then the team, it feels like the energy is just driven. Like they're driven by what has happened, and it's just dope to see that. Like, you know, in my experience, I can compare. Well, not exactly in my experience, you know, something of another area, like in Houston, you know, when they had that big storm and like there was a lot of, you know, a lot of destruction caused by that big storm. I think it was that huge hurricane they had, like, what was it, like a year or maybe a year, 2 years ago, Houston had.
No, it definitely was two. It was definitely more recent than 2 years ago.
All right, so a year ago, is that fair? I think it was last year.
Around a year ago.
All right, so yeah, a year ago, Houston has that big storm, you know, causes a whole lot of destruction. You know, of course, like I'm sure a lot of lives were lost and homes were lost and, you know, family separated, a lot of just tragic stuff going on. And it seems like the team has been driven by, you know, the tragedy that has happened in their area. And the Houston Astros went to the World Series that year. I know they went to the World Series that year. I forget if they won it. I'm not sure if they won the World Series that year, but I know they went to the World Series that year, which, like you said, is similar to how you said when the Saints came back and they went to the conference final, the conference, you know, that year back after that situation. It's dope to see stuff like that when that happens.
Very.
And then in Boston, I mean, we've had a couple of our own of those in the past, like 5 years. I mean, the Boston bombing, you know, the marathon bombing that happened.
Oh yeah,
in 2013.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that happened in May of, I think it was May 14th, 2013 was the Boston marathon bombing, and then I don't remember what time of the year the World Series played, but the Red Sox won the World Series right after that season. So that was huge.
Oh,
Boston.
Yeah,
they
did. I forgot about that.
Yeah, bro. That was, so I went to that parade because I was like, wow, like this is huge for Boston right now. Like, especially after everything, like what timing for the Red Sox to just, you know, have a great, you know, end to the season. And that was good to see that. And then after that, to add on to that, was the season in the NFL that followed that, the Patriots won the Super Bowl. They played the Seattle Seahawks that following season after the marathon bombing. And they won a ring, you know. So when Malcolm Butler had that crazy moment, you know.
Interception. Is that running the ball?
Yeah, and he kind of jumped the ball out of the end zone and, you know, fell back. That was just, you know, seeing that when I feel like the whole world was in shock. Like, even I understand why people aren't Patriots fans. I completely understand. Like, I mean, I even get tired of seeing us, like, you know, go all the way every time because you want to see other teams, you know, get out there. Like, I do too, but I don't have any say in that. It is, I can't help what happens. But, like, that, I think, even if you were not a Patriots fan at that time, you were still got it. I mean, there might have been people that were just, like, you know, grunted and they were just all, like, you know, salty when they seen that. But they had to just been shocked at the same time. Like, even if you were unhappy, like, oh, man, the Patriots kept themselves back in the game. Like, you know, Seattle was just, like, you know, a play away from a Super Bowl ring right there. Like, they had that game locked down, you know, as far as anyone was concerned. And then all of a sudden the Patriots got themselves back in the game. You know, even haters had to been a little bit shocked at that, because who the hell would have seen Malcolm Butler come out of nowhere and run the ball back?
They should have run.
That was just, yeah, that they. I don't know why they had a passing play. He could have just had. I forget who we were saying. Was it Richard Sherman or were they saying Marshawn Lynch? They should have had. I forget. Maybe they were saying Marshawn Lynch should have just ran the ball. Well, that was like the other option.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch. Richard Sherman, the cornerback. Richard Sherman is a cornerback. Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch. They should have just had him run the ball. Excuse me. I don't really know too much about football. I just know a little bit. I don't know what positions these guys play. I just know what they do out there. I know what I see with the little bit I do see. Speaking of which, I'm pretty sure Marshawn Lynch is he's playing. They're going to have they're moving to Vegas. The Oakland Raiders are going to be the Las Vegas Raiders pretty soon. I don't know if it's going to be this coming season, but in the next few years, they're supposed to move. Oakland's supposed to move to Las Vegas, so they're going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, given it's the same team, I don't know how they're going to, like, try and reassemble a team, but I would think they just keep their team. I mean, you have Derek Carr, who's, like, a good quarterback. Like, might as well just build a team up. Try to, like, you know, transform the whole team. I don't know what they want to do.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, honestly.
We'll go ahead.
Yeah, no. What are you saying? Finish what you're saying.
I honestly don't know how to feel about the Raiders going to Las Vegas, but go ahead.
It's weird. Like, I don't know about all the stuff on the business end and why teams want to. Like, I don't really understand the business side of it enough to really know why teams, like, why it's so beneficial for teams to move to a new location like that. I don't really get it, but. Maybe it's like they can, like, have a bigger stadium or something, or, like, get more money. Like, I don't know what goes on, but I mean, I guess it sounds cool. I don't really know what really it changes, but I don't know. We'll see. You know, man,
yeah,
another thing that I want to
Saints
do,
away.
The New Orleans Saints, what, they're moving?
Yeah, they better not take, if they take the Saints away from New Orleans, we riot. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, well, because what – well, but you guys have – yeah, that's true. I used to be a big Saints fan years ago. I remember when Reggie Bush was still playing for them, I was a huge Saints fan.
That's
yeah,
my
man.
Favorite player ever.
Yeah, I was a big Reggie Bush dude. Yo, he was so nasty. Back in the day, it was crazy. Like, I remember, like, the 09 Saints, bro. They were unstoppable. 09 Saints were wild. Didn't they get a ring that year?
Yeah. No, the next year. Yeah. No, yeah. 09, 2010, yeah. That was the year.
Yeah, they were unstoppable, bro. That offense was just too much. I remember back in the days watching Reggie Bush do like backflips like for like touchdown celebrations. he brought that whole thing to like a new level.
Touchdown celebration.
Yo,
you talking about that?
He did.
No, it
didn't
was a front
backflip.
No.
It was a front flip.
Yeah, it was a couple of front. Either you talking about that Steelers touchdown or the Chicago Bulls touchdown in the playoffs?
Oh, he never did a backflip?
No. Trust me,
oh, okay.
I would know. I would know.
Nah, I know you would know. That's why I'm asking you.
No.
Oh, man, I guess sometime I thought. I mean, regardless, Reggie Bush was a straight beast. So, shout out to Reggie Bush. He was an amazing talent.
It kind of sucks he was never a pro bowler. But yeah, let's go to what you were about to move on to.
So another thing that I wanted to ask you is, so in battle rap, I've been paying attention a little bit in battle rap, just enough. I wouldn't have been paying attention a lot. The last time we talked about the event that I went to, which was out here in Boston, that was really the last
mm-hmm.
thing that I really focused in on in battle rap. Right, yeah, that was cool. But that was the last thing I really been focused in on. By the way, I found somebody sent me like a bootleg of the Head Ice battle. And I watched it like, you know, once or twice on the bootleg. So that being like the, you know, second and third time that I've seen the battle. And I still think that it's a really good Head Ice. Like, I think when you see it, like, I think I definitely, like, a lot of the live energy was definitely different. Just, like, watching Head Ice live is just an experience in itself. You know, just watching him, like, his performance and his aggression live, you know, mixed with, you know, his, like, lyrical content. I mean, he doesn't have, like, really intricate, you know, complex bars, but, like, just what he was doing,
doesn't
especially.
He?
Yeah, exactly. You know, just what he was doing this time and then the previous time that I had seen him is an experience in itself. So, I mean, if you're going to say seeing people live gives you more of an energy, which it does, than watching them on video, which is correct. I mean, Head Ice takes that to a new level because his aggression is just through the roof. You know, I mean, that makes up his whole entire thing. Like his whole act is, or whatever, his whole performance is based around his, you know, his intensity and the seriousness in the lines that he has. So, yeah, I watched the battle back, and it's pretty good. I don't know, like, what it'll look like on camera. I don't know, like, what the perception will be. I can't really tell, but I'm anxious to when you see it, how you'll feel about it. You know, it's still a really good Head Ice. So you might even – I don't know what people are going to say, but I think Head Ice, you got that pretty clearly. Anyways, I don't want to defer too much. So that was the last time I paid attention, but – the next thing that I had locked into was I saw an episode of Champion with Jay Black. Yeah, shout out to Champion. That was a very entertaining episode that I just watched from them the other day. I didn't watch the whole episode, but I watched a good chunk of it, enough to see Jay Black, you know, announce, which obviously is not the official announcement. It had already been announced, but, you know, his announcement of the Sue Surf and Rum Nitty battle that's supposed to happen at No Mate, which I think is coming up, bro. Yeah,
June 23rd.
Yeah, that's about to come up fast because tomorrow is, I'm pretty sure Friday is June 1st. So that's about to come up real fast. And, yeah, that's an exciting battle. I also,
no, before I even get into the other thing, yeah, that's a really exciting battle. You know, you told me that that was the match, and I was excited then, but just to see it official is adds even more value to it and more hype.
I know.
And I'm very excited to see Surf because Surf is one of my favorite guys. You know, if Battle Rap would have, you know, died tomorrow and they weren't going to have no more leagues and anything like that, and they were like, you know, Keys, you can watch one more battle. You get one battle. But you can only, like, the opponent is random, but pick your battler you want to see battle. I'd pick Surf. 100%.
Okay.
Or if they were going to say, we got to have, so you're, that same one battler is the last battle you're ever going to watch because this battler has to battle and win for the fate of Battle Rap. If you have to have one guy and if he loses, he has to clearly win, then Battle Rap is saved. I'm going to say Surf, you're going to carry the torch for us and we'll be all saved.
Surf on URL, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a given. I wouldn't expect that it would be anywhere else.
No,
ironically,
no,
that's
no,
what... What did you say?
No, well, I was saying... The reason why I was saying it like that was because Surf... how am I going to say it? Surf is known for when he goes outside URL, it's not that big of a performance, of a great performance, honestly. Sometimes it's not his fault. Other times, it kind of is his fault. But either way, we see the best of Surf on URL.
Well, that's okay. And I know in the past, you know, we've had conversations that would say that it wasn't okay because you should want to give your 100% on any league because, you know, every
right.
league counts, as we have said in the past, not just URL. But at
right.
the same time, there's not much we can do about whether he decides to show up or not, depending on what league it is. So if he wants to battle on UW and have, like, an okay performance, it is what it is because when he goes back to URL, it's probably going to be a very good battle with a lot of replay value, and it's going to be a dope battle. So he's going to gain all those fans back.
I'm calling the battle tonight. I don't care who else is on the card. Rumney versus Sue Surf battle tonight. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because on Champion, Jay Black had come out, and he was given, like, he gave, like, an in-depth analysis of Rum Nitty's 2017 resume and, like, trying to
yep.
remind us about what Rum Nitty did because he actually did have a couple good, really good joints in 2017. I know that for a fact. Rum Nitty had a good year.
A couple.
You know, he had the JC battle.
He had a great
Brian
performance against
battle.
DNA. He had a good performance against Chef Trez. Even though the crowd wasn't on him 100%, he had a good 3 rounds against JC. And he had a pretty much battle of the year with Iron Solomon. You can't have a better 2017 better than that. Plus, the 2-on-2 was the best 2-on-2 of the night. And when they had that freaking Royal Rumble between Team Hami versus the Goonies, he was one of the biggest highlights of that battle. When he came in, the Jack Reacher Sniper Drop You, PH, left his whole team, Hami. That's how I left Ryder's Block. Man, come on. Rum had a good 2017.
Yeah, he had a really good 2019, and that's what Jay Black was going in depth on. But Tech N9ne came out after. He was the other host. If the the listeners might not know what we're saying here is this show called Champion. Is it's almost like the ESPN of like the First Take of Battle Rap world.
It is and the ESPN, the First Take of Battle
Rap. Yeah, so it's the First Take of the Battle Rap world. It's pretty much like you have Jay Black is like Stephen A. Smith. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Tech Nine, the other host.
You gotta be Skip. Forgive Max. Skip.
Wait, so Jay Black is Skip?
No. I'm saying Tech Nine is Skip.
But Skip ain't on First Take anymore.
No, I'm saying no. My point is, like, the original First Take.
Right.
Even though Max is doing good, I've been watching Max since Sports Nation. I'm not saying Max isn't good, but Skip and Stephen A. and Kerry, they were the main show. They were the show. They made the show. You can't top those three. Molly, she's doing a good job. Max, he's doing a good job. But the show isn't the same compared to Skip and Kerry being on there with Stephen A. That's why I'm saying Tech is Skip, because Tech is the villain. Even though Tech is not as obnoxious as Skip, Tech has his bad guy moments that are very impactful, which is the reason why he and Geechee Guy is going back and forth, which is the reason why him and Jack Boy Man's going back and forth, which is the reason why him and Jim's are going back and forth. Tech knows how to talk. Shout out to Tech. That's why, in my eyes, he's the Skip. That low life thug, Jack Boy Man. That was hilarious. But the Tech, in my eyes, is the Skip Bayless of champion. Now, what Vida could have been, I don't know. I wish Vida would stay.
I told you, man. I told you that Tech Nine's reaction, his whole thing
hilarious.
On the show was hilarious. I was cracking up.
That was
everything he was talking about. Yeah, the Jag Boy thing, and then especially when he was going off after about, well, he said Surf 3-0 aggressively came out like
hilarious.
A cannon, bro. Surf 3-0 saying like he's going to destroy Rom Nitty, which I was entertaining what he was saying because Surf 3-0, bro.
Yo, bro, come on, man. Close the door.
And then he started going off about how Surf and Mook are both taking a warm-up battle, and then they got to take each other after that. So,
what's that one, though?
Well, because he was saying how Sue Surf and Murder Mook both are both taking a warm-up battle before taking each other after that.
Right.
And, I mean, I would have thought that if Mook was battling sooner, then maybe that him and Surf could have got on Summer Madness for this year. But seeing that Murder Mook isn't battling until, like, August or September, that battle is, like, later in the summer. Since that's not
gonna be a
till
lot
way
of break.
Later, then... Yeah. I don't think we're
going
to see Mook for a little bit.
But the price is up for Mook now, because now that he's finally booked. And besides, if it was Summer Madness this year, I don't think it would be possible, because Summer Madness is like in the September area. The Verb Battle is going to be in August.
That's what I'm saying.
Not sure.
It's too close.
Yeah. Right.
I could never see this Murder Mook taking two battles in the same year. I just can't imagine it.
Less than like a month or two? Nah.
I mean, I know he could do it. I just don't. I wouldn't. If I had to guess, I wouldn't. Would never predict that he takes any two battlers within 1 year. I just wouldn't.
Right.
Because
he's
marketed himself, he seems like he's either not interested enough in who's out there or he's just too busy. So those two things combined, I just don't see him taking any two battlers in the same year. Especially because I don't know if two leagues would come up with the bread in the same year. That's another big factor.
Exactly. That's the only thing he cares about. Well, not really the only thing he cares about. He loves the sport. It's just that if the check's not right, if the money's not right, he's not taking it.
No, that's okay. Like, you got to know your worth. And he like, yo, from the beginning, like, Murder Mook is, like, that's who people reference when they say, oh, I used to watch, like, the DVDs. Like, they talk about Murder Mook. Like, so that means something. He brought battle rap up from the dirt and gravel, bro, when it was just being built. So if they were to have, yeah, I didn't know if there was a delay on that or what was happening. I thought you might have been processing the thought.
Oh,
or
no,
something
no,
like that. So.
Somebody called me for a second, but then they stopped.
Yeah, it'd be like that sometimes. These things happen. So what I wanted to ask you was, you know, I said Surf 3-0. I mean, I just say that as a joke. I don't really know. But, I mean, I do agree with what I think Jay Black and Tech N9ne both – I think Jay Black actually said it, but I think Tech N9ne might have just kind of agreed. I mean, he did say Surf 3-0, so of course he's going to agree. He might have just trying to been – he might have just have been trying to be overdramatic on purpose saying that, but – I think he did agree, but Jay Black did say that Rum Nitty, like, no matter how good Rum Nitty's first is, it's unlikely that he'll beat Surf's first, because with all this writing he's probably been doing, it's going to be very hard for him to beat Surf in the first round.
Man, let me tell you something, Keys. When it's like a very anticipated battle in Surf side, that first round is going to be bananas. For example, Surf versus Hollow, one of the best first rounds from Surf ever. Surf versus T-Top. After those first two battles that he took with Suge, the unfortunate situation with Rex, him choking in one round, people were people turned against Surf before the T-Top battle. They tried to pretty much crucify him for choking in battles. So that first round was very well anticipated. And look what happened. One of the best first rounds we've ever seen. That round ages so beautifully. And I mean so beautifully. Imagine how this is going to be when he battles, when he has his return battle in his first round. The second and third, I don't know. But the first, there's no way in hell that Rum's going to win. Unless Rum comes with haymakers. There's no way, well, at least in the building right now, that he's going to top Surf first. I'm going to get that pay-per-view, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm 100% getting that pay-per-view, bro. I mean, just the first – they only announced – this is only the second one they announced, right? Because they have the – what's the other battle that
third.
They have?
Third.
The third
Rockin'
battle?
Goods and Ill Will and T-Top.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ill Will and T-Top got history, but go ahead.
Yeah, that one should be good. Yeah, I'm definitely ordering the pay-per-view. It's going to be crazy. I got to see Surf's return. That's, like, the most craziest part, but...
Oh, yes.
What do you... I just want to lock in on the Sue Surf and Rum Nitty, because it's hard for me to tell, because, like, Rum Nitty's... I mean, I know lately, like, people have been criticizing him because they said, I didn't see it, but they said he didn't really have too good of a performance because he choked versus John the Don.
A good John? Nah, don't listen. Hold on, I'm on the phone. But yeah, get a little some salad. But don't listen to that. Trust me. Look, Rum Nitty had a really good performance against John. It was just, yes, he did choke in the first round, but it wasn't like a horrible choke. He kind of forgot. The first round was pretty long enough, but when he forgot it, he didn't waste anybody's time saying, oh, let me get it back. Nah, he was like, ah, dang, go ahead. They came back badly in that second round and came back, did really good in that third round. It was just John. He had a great performance as well. So he might have lost that battle, but it wasn't like a body bag or destruction or this going to affect Rumney's career. When that footage drops, it's gonna be debatable. But overall, it was a good battle from both sides. It was just shocking that Rum choked in the first round. But either way, you're gonna enjoy all three rounds from each battler. So don't let that Rum got beat badly. Don't listen to them. It wasn't bad. John, he was consistent and was on point this battle. Rum, he was consistent and he did really good this battle. It was just a choke that shocked everybody. Besides that, Rum was really good, and plus that only happened in the first round. Second round ended strong, came back strong. Third round ended strong, he came back strong. It was just John was good that night too. So don't let them tell you that Rum got killed, the body. It was not a body. It was not a body. You might probably could edge it 3-0, but even if you say 3-0, it was an edge. It wasn't no clear, no debatable body. It wasn't like a Cliff versus Erex. It wasn't like a Shine versus A-Verb. It wasn't like a B-Magic versus Av. No, it was a really good battle. It was a good battle. I enjoyed that battle personally. I just watched it again recently. It was a good battle.
All right. I believe you. I'll have to check that out when it drops. I'll be on the lookout. You know, when I dabble.
You will like it.
Yeah, you're
more of a punchline bar guy. Trust me, you're gonna love these bars from both sides. Trust me.
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, especially when I was saying it, like at that time, I was referring to on wax. I like the bars over personals when it's on wax, because if you're gonna do like personals, to me, personals are more for like a rap battle, like an actual battle, like. If you're on wax, to me, I think it should be bars versus bars, because it just, that's the way that, I mean, that it doesn't have to be what I say that I like, but that's just where my interest lies when it comes to rapping on wax. I feel like it should be lyrics versus lyrics. And then if you want to have an angle about like a personal angle, then that's one thing. But then having like information to an extent, like it just, like, to me, it doesn't hit that way. But then again, I've been critical about certain personals in battle rap too. It just didn't really hit with me because I just don't really know about it, and I just don't. I don't want to defer too much from what we're talking about, but you know what I'm saying. I'm sure I enjoy the battle. When I dabble on YouTube and I find, like, you know, it says new battle on the side, I'll probably see that one and click that, because, you know, I have to go check up on battles every now and then, and I'll be on the lookout for that. So yeah, what I wanted to ask you was, because I'm not able to do this kind of prediction myself, because I'm probably going to, if I did do it, I'd probably be favored with Sue Surf, because I'm just so excited for his return. But at the same time, Rum Nitty's not to be played with, even on the big stage, even at Nome, even at wherever he's at, he's not to be played with. So that's a factor. But you being somebody who's watched a lot more Rum Nitty's battles than me, and a lot more battles period than me, I think you're a lot more fitted to give like a solid prediction for the listeners of this battle, whoever may be listening that is anticipating this battle, if they are listening, and of course myself. So Sue Surf versus Rum Nitty, like round for round, can you give us a prediction? What do you think is gonna happen?
Okay. All right. Okay. Now we all know when you return, that return gas is ridiculous. But however, at the same time, Rum has a little bit more of an advantage. I mean, not Rum. Yeah, Rum. Goodness gracious, man. That's right, hold on. Rum has a little bit more of an advantage because they're not in New York. And since they're not in New York, that gas shouldn't be too, it shouldn't be too serious as far as them gassing every line. Like, if you've seen Twerk versus Clean Paper, they was trying to hype up Clean like crazy for his return. JC versus Chef Torres, they tried to hype up JC like crazy for his return. Not saying the bars went crazy. Not saying the performance wasn't good. But when you return, it's a whole nother level of love that you get. So, but that's in New York. Now, how is that going to play in Houston We don't know. Because none, besides maybe DNA, I'm hearing DNA is going to be unknown, but against who, I don't know. But possibly Twerk from the clues that I'm starting to come up with. But besides that, none of these guys have ever performed in Houston. So they don't know how Houston is going to handle bars, whether or not the Houston is going to go crazy for certain things or not, whether or not Houston hypes up the battlers because of their return or not. Like, there's a lot of factors that you play in. So Rum has a little bit more of a chance to, like, win in the building. But as far as overall, I got to go with C-Surf 2-1 because Surf has been chilling for the longest. There's no way in hell he's choking in this battle. There's no way. First round, he's got to win clearly. Second round has got to be more of a fight. Third round, Surf has to win. Third round, that's got to be for Surf. The Surf is really good with third round. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. As you were saying that, I was thinking about all the people that are on the card so far, and I'm trying to think, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, none of those people are from Houston or from Texas. So far, so nobody would have, you know, a home crowd feel. Maybe that's what they aim to do, so it would feel like neutral ground for everybody.
It's not really a home crowd feel. It's more of a New York Urban Plaza fan feel because Surf's from Jersey, not from New York. Rock is Baltimore, not New York. Yet they get the biggest love and reaction to Urban Plaza.
Yeah, that's a good point about Rock. He gets a lot of love in New York, and he's not from out there.
And look how much love they got in Double Impact when they first came together. Damn near every line they had to stop in the first round. The first round was like 11 minutes, and that's far as like on footage. Imagine how it was live. Same for the second round. Second round was at least like 6-7 minutes. And it was probably 3-minute rounds they agreed on. But the crowd was so crazy and the energy was so electrifying, it was hard to stop and just complain about it. Yeah, it was a little bit of gas, but at the same time, they were gas for a reason because the bars were crazy and the energy was through the freaking roof. They
yeah.
know how to rock a crowd at Urban Plaza. But how they going to do it in Houston? We got to see on the 23rd.
I feel like K-Rock, he'll get love no matter where he's at.
Oh, without question.
Besides, well, at least if it's URL, no matter where URL goes, I think he'll get love. I felt like when Rock was on UW, when he battled Arsenal on UW, I mean, given the venue, the size, and, like, the crowd, I mean, the crowd was definitely a factor, but, like, the amount of people that were there, it wasn't, like, necessarily on the big stage where, like, he really gets a lot of reaction. Like, it was kind of like a smaller, you know, area that he was in, and, like, the stage was a whole smaller setup. And maybe the crowd was dead by the time that battle got on, but it did feel like that when Tay Rock battled Arsenal that he was having some lines, and it's not like he didn't come with, like, good material, just that, like, he wasn't getting the reaction that he usually gets. And that was in
the first
round, New Jersey. That was in New Jersey.
Yeah, that was Elizabeth, New Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah, because the second round, he did get a lot of reaction.
Was
he, like,
bananas.
You know, did... Yeah.
Oh my God, that second round was bananas.
I mean, so
good
if I had
God.
To... Yeah, it was awfully crazy. I feel like every Tay Rock second round that I've ever seen has been awesome. It has been really, really good. So, you know,
just based on that,
I mean, Tay Rock is like, oh, the Norbit scheme.
That Norbit scheme. The rescue show.
Oh, yeah.
When she sucked my, it better not get scratched nor bit. And it took me so long to realize it was a Norbit skin because I burst out laughing and going crazy with the scratch nor with it better not get scratched nor bit. Then I realized, wait a second, was that a double entendre for Norbit? Either way, that headline's crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah, the king of second rounds. A-Rock, king of second rounds.
Rob's second round is like the Golden State Warriors in the third quarter.
Yeah, it's just you get that heavyweight punch in the second round, and it's pretty much unbeatable. And speaking of that, that just leads me to believe that Goods has little chance of winning the second round in Houston. I don't give him much of a chance.
No chance.
Yeah.
No matter where Rock is. Every time Rock battles outside of URL or outside of New York, they'd be like, oh, he ain't going to have that gas here. He ain't going to have that gas in this area. They say in Queen of the Ring, Rock going to have that gas over here in Queen of the Ring. Rock's the crowd in the second round against T3. They say in Jersey, oh, he ain't going to have that gas against Ars. In Jersey? And he rocks that second round in Jersey. He rocks Jersey with that second round. Cali, when he battled Disaster. Oh, he ain't going to have that gas against Diz and Cali. In Diz hometown? And he rocks that crowd in that second with that second round. That shine off the last card, holographic line, was hard. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, that got cut off a little bit. Yeah, K-Rock is very difficult to beat no matter where he goes. Goods is going to, based on what we've just said here, Goods is looking like Goods, you're going to have to win the first round and third round, brother. And if you can't do that, you're probably going to lose clearly. I hope this Goods is really good. I mean, the Goods that I saw versus T-Top was really good. And he's probably going to need to do even more than that. So if he can't do better, we'll see. We'll see. But anyways, we got a few minutes left in the show. And we've broken down many, many topics tonight. It was good. I like transitioning from, you know, A to B to C to D like that. It's pretty nice, but I think we did give a good amount of time to topics. We gave a good amount of time to topics as needed, and I hope it didn't, you know, that it wasn't too fast-paced for the listeners, you know, whoever may have been listening, whether they were or not. And Rodney, I always say I appreciate you for jumping on and giving your input on everything and adding content, you know, to the show, because it's always a big help, especially when I don't know as much about something that I might be interested in. I mean, if I were to break down a topic by myself, the listeners probably wouldn't get nearly as much insight on the topic as you're able to provide them with. So that's dope. And I appreciate that 100%, and you're the man for that. And, yeah, everybody, you know, don't get too hot in the sun. Stay out of the sun, wear some sunscreen, but still go in the water because the water is beautiful. So hit the beach because it's summertime. And Rodney, if you have, not just yet, if you have any last words you want to tell the people, go ahead, or just a, you know, good night shout out, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, man. Shouts out to everybody, especially Keys for having me here. Shouts out to Lee. My show, the Stuff Talk session, is airing tomorrow at 1. If you guys want to check out the episodes and listen live, download the MFAM Radio app, EMFAM Radio. And when I record, I'm going to try to drop it as soon as possible. Depending how the recording is, I might drop it later tomorrow or Friday, one or two. I'll try to be more and more consistent for you guys. But please enjoy the show and enjoy the content and support, man. Need all the love and support that I can.
Yeah, everybody go check out Stuff Talk Session on YouTube. Please do that. And thank you for everybody who supports, has supported, or continues to support Lee and Keys Real Talk. Everybody go enjoy the weather. It's beautiful. And stay positive. Have a good night. We'll see y'all next time. Lee and Keys Real Talk. We out.